When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That feel when you thought you had 30 seconds to intro this thing, but for whatever reason, it started with the 18-second one and your mouth is full of Cheetos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fightful. My name is Cresta Starr, and I have the lovely, the beautiful, the iridescent Iridian with me. And this is your post-collision show. I'm here. Battle of the Belts is still going on. Iridian, how are you before we get into things?
I am doing so well, super excited. I have not worked with you in so long. So it was due for a women's power trip. And here we are. So everybody get ready for some chaos, for some shenanigans, because I got my notes and I'm ready to talk to you about them.
I have to tell you, I've missed you guys so much. And I've had ups and downs, but right now I'm very up and I'm up here for you. So leave us a thumbs up on that video if you're watching us on YouTube land, whether you are live or after the fact. And if you really like us, go ahead and leave us a super chat. That's somewhere on the YouTube page. You leave a super chat, we get to keep the lights on. You can go over to humperchats.com as well and leave us a humper chat. It gives us a little bit more money, a little bit more hump in it, if you will. And yeah, any dollar amount gets your comment read online. And Lewis will make sure that I read all of the comments. I'm sorry, not Lewis, Rob. Rob is on duty tonight, Your Honor, with the Humper Chats. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're excited. We have Battle of the Belts in the background. We are going to get into this AEW collision, which was enhancement night.
Goodbye.
When I'm telling lies.
Damn. Yeah, it really was. And some of the matches, I timed two of them and I was not impressed because they were very, very short, but we'll get into it. But man, we started off hot opening up with the BCC.
Are they the BCC? What are they called? Are they Moxie's Menaces?
Goodbye. Oh.
Yeah, at first it's like, girl, but then it's like.
Yeah, there's going on right now. Okada's going down to the ring, so. Shout out to him. I hope he makes it rain some Okada bucks. But yeah, collision opening up with BCC. And I just wanted to address the elephant in the room of Wheeler Yuta, okay? I hope I'm not wrong about Yuta, but this is not it, okay? This is not it. I'm stressed. I think that after the original group of BCC turned on Danielson, that this was a chance for people to be sympathetic towards Wheeler Yuta. And I saw a story there, right? You know, people experienced the same heartbreak that Wheeler Yuta did. And that made it a connection. And I'm like, okay, yes, absolutely. This makes sense. And I think he could have benefited from that. But now, what are we doing? Now he's a heel. Now he's back in this BCC, which we'll probably think of a name later along during the show. But the new person in the group is Marina Shafir. And if anyone's going to benefit from that group, it's Marina. Because before, if you thought that Wheeler Yuta was at the bottom of the totem pole, which he was, because he was always taking those pins, and we always talked about it, Marina is more interesting than Wheeler Yuta. No shade to Yuta, because I absolutely love him. But people are like, wow, Marina, there's a woman in the group now. What are we doing? So Marina is now more intriguing. And she's choking grown men out backstage. BCC, what are we doing? Like, Yuta, I don't know what's happening, but I'm hoping sooner rather than later that he turns face again, because I think that's when people can be behind him. And I hope that pop is there, because tonight he was getting the loudest boos.
Oh, they were almost Dominic level boos. I lived. No, I agree with you 100%. I feel like there was a way to make Wheeler Yuta not the bad guy. Because you could see in his face, like, oh, I don't want to have to, for legal purposes, this is kayfabe. I don't want to have to murder you, Bryan Danielson, but I think I'm going to have to. You know what I mean? I think there was a way to do it. However, mm-hmm. I'm going to overthink here. Maybe he has Stockholm Syndrome because Claudio Castagnoli used to beat him up for fun in the BCC. And now what if he beats me up for real? Damn, Danielson. And you finna retire anyway? Yikes. I got to preserve myself because I don't want Claudio Castagnoli beat me up for real. And the only person who's going to take out Claudio Castagnoli is Eddie Kingston. And, you know, Eddie Kingston, yeah, he ain't coming back for a little bit. And I don't want to get beat up for real. So, I mean, in that regard, I get it. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with you with Marina Shafir being more interesting, but I'm going to have to say, much like Rhea Ripley in the beginning of Judgment Day, mm-hmm. somebody beat this girl up. There's one girl. There is one girl. One girl. And none of the other dudes are going to touch you because ain't no Bully Rays over there. And trust mm-hmm. me, there was Bully Ray or Randy Orton, I would say, don't do it. But there's one girl. Jump her. Learn from the past mistakes of other people. And put your differences aside, Willow, Chris, and Camille, and jump this woman because she's clearly choking out men. So
she gets into the ring with no shoes. She fights with no shoes on. Like, it can't be that hard. Come on.
If she fight with no shoes, she got nothing to lose. Man, I missed you guys. Yeah, that opening promo, they were like, this is our promotion. Tonight we're going to publicly execute Top Flight. I was like, that's murder. There's been a lot of murder going around. And
premeditated because y'all went in thinking you were already going to do it.
Bruh, you announced it. Like, I can't defend you when you're acting like this.
We can only do so much, okay? It's tough.
It's tough out here for a wrestling fan. You guys out here shanking people, doing the devil's work, I guess.
Not the devil's work.
So our first match is Ricochet versus A.R. Fox. This match had no right being this good. And I was prepared for a flip-de-doo, scratching that part of my brain that makes me go, you know, like it was so good. Mm-hmm. Before I get into my appreciation love fest, Iridian, what did you think about this match?
This was great. I am also there with you. I said, excuse me, the first match, a banger? That's crazy. Craziness. Ricochet, Nigel said on commentary that Ricochet is the man that gravity never met, or that never met gravity. And I 1,000% agree because everything that Ricochet was doing, and also AR Fox, it seemed like it was in slow motion when they were in the air. It seemed like they were just able to take their time, which I absolutely appreciated. And it was just fantastic. I'm really a fan of this match. I think this is my second favorite match of the night. So let's talk about it and then more comments.
Okay. So my notes, my only complaint about this match was the carpal tunnel running through my wrist and my forearm because trying to write for this match. In the beginning, they're just flipping, sliding all over each other because Ricochet couldn't outflip him and Ricochet couldn't outhold him. And they, at one point, they're just looking at each other like, yeah, we doing this. There was a really pretty shooting star press on AR Fox from Ricochet. And then AR Fox does this real, I mean, I'm sorry. No, yes, it is. AR Fox does this really like innovative thing on the bottom rope. I'm reading my notes, y'all. Don't judge me. Where he like, I don't know, he trips Ricochet up in a way that makes a lot of sense. But also my brain was like, like, yeah, it was like a double, like the Scooby-Doo sound when they were tripping was playing. I was like, wait a minute. It was really, really good. There was a shooting star rope walk press from AR Fox to Ricochet onto the outside. And that's when I was like, bro, my hands will never recover from this match. And I know on the horizon, there's a Ricochet hologram match. I know on the horizon, we're eventually going to get that Ricochet Will Ospreay match. When I say somewhere, the Intercontinental 205 Live spiritual gods are like, yes, this is what the gods wanted. I am so excited for this. The match, I missed the ending, but because my stream just died, because there was a huge 450 from AR Fox was the last thing I saw. And Ricochet kind of looked at him like, that's my line. That's my line. Like, how dare you? What did you think about this match? What did you think about the ending before we get into the post-match?
Man, they had some really, really good spots in this match. I know that AR Fox hit Ricochet with like a spinning vertical suplex, and it was incredible. They were so well matched up that even when Ricochet, he went for like a shooting star press and he missed, it still looked beautiful. Like everything in this match was so great. And I just, this is where I don't get where people are like, oh, all they do is just like flips and stuff. And like, you can't tell me that you did not watch this match and think that it was entertaining, that you were not, as you say, sports entertained while you're watching this match. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't.
But like, why would you be mad if they're only doing flips? You know, maybe it's the Intercontinental X Division lover in me who's like, I don't care. There's a place for everything. There's a place for your FTRs. There's a place for your Hardy Boys. There's a place for your X Divisions. Cause like, I enjoy seeing that. Cause I know in AEW, I'm going to get top flippy doos, but like, even calling it flippy doos, I feel is a little disrespectful to this match because it was a technical prowess, top rope artistry, if you will. I had so much fun watching this match. And even again, even if all they did was handspring, no gravity, I would still be sports entertained. So
I was like, yes, this is what we need. Now what I want is, you know, it's, I guess a lot of people have a hard time connecting with AR Fox because he just comes out sometimes and he just wrestles, but we need like a storyline or whatever. But I still want that connection from AR Fox. I know Ricochet just got here and he's talking up a big game, but we know he can wrestle. Let's put these guys in some good storylines. Like, let's do it. Like, what is stopping people? I know Ricochet had a lot to say after his win, and he picked up the mic and he was calling people out. I was scared.
We get to the post-match, speaking of calling people out. Ricochet pretty much says, Takeshna, you're all up in my business, and I've mech-had it. So I don't care if you're in New Japan, Canada, Mexico, or right here, you're going to get this work, and I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, okay, Ricochet. Now, I like Ricochet. I do, but I've been watching Takeshna for a long time now with AEW. Takeshna's going to eat him. Like, oh.
No, I agree. I wrote down in all caps, Takeshita? That's who you're calling out, the final boss? Like, to me, Takeshita is like the one, right? Like, that man has pinned Kenny Omega. That's crazy. Crazy.
That's a crazy thing to say in 2024.
I'm scared for you, Ricochet. Respect you, but I'm very, very scared. Worried for your safety, especially when, you know, you just got there. This is what his, like, third, fourth match, I want to say. Maybe less than 10 matches in AEW. And now you're going for Takeshita. I feel like you got to work your way up to Takeshita. You don't just call him out. But that's just me. That's just me.
And I mean, if we really keep it a buck, like you said, at the top of the mountain, there is Takeshita. And even if you think you are going to get cheated out of your boots, like, who are we kidding here? You know Don Callis' family. We're a family. And a family that cheats together. Well, they cheat together.
They eat together. And I was like,
yeah, but they turn on each other. They turned on Kenny Omega. They turned on each other. It's not a good family. They just cheat together. So I don't know. I wish Ricochet all the luck. God bless. Maybe he might join Don Callis' family. Who knows?
God bless. If that match happens, it's ending in a disqualification. Or Takeshita's winning. Like, Ricochet, I'm so sorry. There is no universe where I see Ricochet coming out with the win unless some craziness happens. Like, Takeshita and Mike Bailey put on a banger, I heard. I can't wait to watch that. It's all over the Twitter feed. But Takeshita, shout outs to you because from the moment that I first saw you, I knew you were a star. I think it was like he fought Hangman on Dynamite. And I was like, who is this man?
One of his very first matches was versus Hangman. Yeah.
And I was like, this is it. He is him. And then Don Callis recruited him. And then I was worried because we weren't going anywhere. But it might be the year, 2025 might be the year of Takeshita. And I'm here for it.
Honestly, truly, Konosuke Takeshita, you ate that. Honestly, I don't. Ricochet, you go die. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said it. Yeah, I said it. I mean, it's going to be a good match, but also, wait, wait. Let me not be a pessimist. Let me put on my optimist hat.
Yeah.
If it does end in a DQ, I could see a 1 billion Offspring coming for the rescue. And then we have Gravity Defied or Defying Gravity. Don't get me, Mr. Disney Plus. Don't get me. But you know what I mean. Like these guys, I could see it.
Yeah.
What I can also see is a super chat from Matthew Hooks saying Ricochet plus Shelton treated like stars. WWE missed, you know? I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. But I feel like it's just sometimes there's too many people on the rosters. Like it happens with AEW too. Like mm-hmm. we would want to see more of certain people and it just doesn't happen sometimes. And even with 3 shows, same thing with WWE. Like you have so many people and even more people on those rosters, it's tough to see who's going to be on this hourly show and then how many hours you have on TV. It just happens sometimes, but I am glad that once people can move and try to, you know, kind of find their footing in a different company and get the flowers that they deserved.
Yeah. So I wasn't watching WWE when Shelton Benjamin was really, really active. I will say that the Hurt Business didn't do him the judgment the way that WWE presented it.
Yeah.
The way that people spoke about him. Watching some of his old matches, I was like, oh, Shelly B was that guy. What? So I'm really happy for him and Ricochet as well, because I was introduced to Ricochet when I first got into wrestling through that gif of him and Will Ospreay just doing the split, the thing, and they land together. I'm like, what in the Power Rangers Zeo is this? I'm sports entertained. I want to watch more of that. Like, that's fantastic. But now we're in this day and age with wrestling, like Iridian said. Sorry, I'm dying today. It's great that you can move from company to company, get paid, and be showcased. But a lot of companies are top heavy, but a lot of wrestlers are really, really good. Mm-hmm. I will use Matthew Hook's super chat as a segue to jump around a little bit tonight. And let's talk about that video package with Sammy Guevara, speaking of Shelton Benjamin. Sammy Guevara has a video package later on in the program and says, you know, I want to make a name for myself like I always do. But maybe the way I'm going about it isn't the way to go about it. So I'm going to call my shot. I'm going to call out some of the best people. And one of the best people made their debut in Shelton Benjamin. And he calls out Shelton Benjamin. Now, much like Ricochet calling out Konosuke, I'm thinking to myself, damn, Sammy, you're going to die. Like, damn, Shelton Benjamin got something to prove. And it's going to be a good match. I have no doubt in my mind. I'm going to be very sports entertained. But I do think Shelton Benjamin got something to prove. He's going to take a bite out of crime. He's going to let that young man have it.
No, I agree with you. Much like Ricochet and Takeshita, that match is probably going to be a banger, right? Like, mm-hmm. we are going to enjoy both of these matches. Is Sammy Guevara going to win? No.
I don't think, love.
I don't think so. That promo was great. We know Sammy has put on some great moments. Mm-hmm. Also, a highlight reel. You know, he gets in that ring and he will give you moments that you remember. That spear that he did to Cody on that ladder match, you know, he has matches with Matt Hardy. He's got matches with great people. So there's plenty to pick from. But now with Shelton Benjamin, sir, he just got here. He's got a new theme song. He still looks great. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of worried. And then they did that flashback to Sammy. He's like, oh, you know, I watched him when I was growing up, and then they have mini baby Sammy next to Shelton Benjamin. And I said, oh, this is not going well. Like, sir, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
I'm going to sing a song. Don't cry for me, Argentine. Like, I like Sammy Guevara. I think his moveset is interesting and he puts on great matches. Yeah. But again, Shelton Benjamin got something to prove. I like to call it that I was just a WWE and I got something to prove. And they give it to everybody. So,
yeah. It's not going to end well for him, but it is what it is. I'm going to be entertained either way.
Hell yeah, brother. I mean, sister. Sometimes some people got to die. And sorry, Sammy Guevara. And also, sorry, Ricochet. But at least in Sammy Guevara's defense, I guess. I don't know. They both called the person out. Never mind. RIP. Next match on the card tonight, we had, well, not match, but segment was Daniel Garcia and the Private Party are backstage and they're calling out the Young Bucks saying, you guys are cowards. I don't understand how you could watch what's going on with the BCC or whatever it is they're doing and just run up the mat ramp like, oh, I'm so scared. Please, no, don't. Like, I get it, but don't be a coward, bro. So all of them call him out and... Sorry, Private Party says we're gonna beat the BCC tonight, and then we're gonna take the titles off the Bucks. Did they beat the BCC? I can't remember, but that's why I have notes, ladies and gentlemen. What did you think of this promo, Iridian?
I thought it was interesting. I'm like, man, again, a lot of people talking up a big game tonight, right? No shade to Private Party, but going right after the Young Bucks, going after the BCC. I don't expect them to make it to next week, honestly. Like,
don't cry for me. I just imagine Pocahontas doing this, waving goodbye to them. Like,
they're not making it. To go out there and call them cowards. There was some other word before cowards, but I was like, this is not going well. And I literally only have that up as my notes. And I'm like, all right, cool. They're going after the tag titles. Private Party has been not done so dirty, but they've always gotten like the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Same thing with Top Flight. And they are younger tag teams, which means that they only have so much more room to grow in AEW. So I'm hoping that they get those titles sometime. They have really worked hard for it. And yes, there's been injuries back and forth, but people like Private Party.
Yeah. I will say that Private Party has the same issue that the Dark Order has. And to a lesser extent, well, not so much Top Flight, because like Darius and Dante Martin have been there since the beginning. All three of these teams in isolation, like these are people who have been here since the beginning. And unfortunately for them, they're great. They're amazing. They're a 10, but there's always an 11, a 15, or a 20. If this was any other circumstance, they would be champions. But unfortunately, there's a FTR, there's a Bucks, there's a United Empire, or there's a, unfortunately too, there are hodgepodge teams of an MJF and Adam Cole because they're really over and they can't be in the main event scene. So the tag titles, it's unfortunate, but I can also understand the frustration. I would love to see Private Party as champions. And I think out of everyone I just named there, Private Party and Dark Order deserves it the most. A Private Party more so than ever, because no matter who you put Private Party in the ring with, whether it's FTR, the Outrunners, even Premier Athletes, Private Party performs every time, every time, every time. So
yeah,
I hope something of this comes of it. But yeah, challenging the BCC. I don't know, man. These guys are different. They think Fight Club is real. I don't know. They were already like, yo, you doing a lot. And now they're like, I eat glass for breakfast. I don't know what's going on.
Did you see the Stokely tweet this week where he was like texting Wheeler Yuta and he's like, oh, tell Moxley I keep that thing on me. And it was a plastic bag in Stokely's pocket. And then Yuta was like, shut yo up. Like... And then Stokely was like, you right.
Now you right.
I'll send it to you afterwards. But I was laughing for like all day. Like it was insane. I'm like, Stokely, please. Stop texting Yuta right now.
You know who Stokely Hathaway is in that moment? Have you ever seen Friday? Mm-hmm. That scene with Debo where he's like, when BCC come around, I'll be shutting up. When BCC leave, I'll be talking again. That's Stokely Hathaway. Also want to give you guys a quick update. This whole time we've been yapping, this Okada-Kyle O'Reilly match is still going on, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe this is for the...
For the international championship, I believe.
I was going to call it the All-Atlantic. I don't know. Well, which one he has.
Okada picked up the win, so... Oh, man. You know what match that I was like kind of upset that are going to be missing? Anna Jay and Mariah May. Because those girls, I know it's going to be great. I know it's
going
to
be great. The blondes are fighting. I live.
I'm here. I'm going to have to watch that later. But, man, it's just going to be so good. Because Anna has been really working hard. And I was upset that when she was with Dark Order, she wasn't kind of getting that shine. So she went to Stardom. She really put in her hours. She was clocking him in. So now that she's back, I'm ready because I know she's a good wrestler and I know she just got better over there. So coming back, I'm excited. So I can't wait to watch that after this.
I mean, that's the great thing about the internet nowadays. You can just go back and rewind. I will use this Humper Chat to introduce our next match. Get it out. Don't pay rent. Leon Ford says 6 minutes for two women's matches on Collision. Tony Khan needs to pay for his crimes. There's no excuse not to give the women more time and better stories than they have since All In. The division feels like it's taken several steps back since then. I will admit that I have been pitchy-patchy with watching wrestling. I take some time off, as you guys notice and known. But I will say that does feel like the case. Iridian, you may have more insight on it than I.
It's been the same. Yeah, it's disappointing because with the two, even just what we saw tonight, I know we'll talk about it later, but the Jamie Hayter and the Brooke Havoc match was less than 2 minutes from the when the bell rung to when the match was over. It was a minute and 58 seconds. I timed it out. So I was like, okay, like, what are we doing? And yeah, Chris Statlander versus Harley Cameron was great, but that was also a very short match. And Thunder Rosa's backstage promo where she was talking about how she went to Mexico and she was being honored for the work that she was doing. I want to say it was like in the Hispanic community or something along those lines, got interrupted by Harley. And then that was also just a little quick segment. Like, I'm very confused because a lot of the other matches, like you said, it was kind of like an enhancement show tonight, you know? I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people were not there, but if you were just going to have Battle of the Belts, like, put Anna Jay on Collision. Like, make the matches longer. I don't know. But we talk about this way too often. And for it to still continue to happen is not us to get enough women on TV, not to get enough segments, just to get these little short matches. Why have things not changed? I'm very confused.
Go ahead.
No. What are your thoughts on this?
I was going to say, and even furthermore, when we do get the women on TV, it is very seldom we get a meaningful storyline. Like, I'm happy for Marina Shafir. You go out there, you do your big one holding that briefcase, sis. But what is everyone else doing? Okay, we have Chris Statlander randomly a face again. No explanation. Work, diva. Sure, get your TV time. You got Hayter who's coming back. Oh, Hologram is passing away. I feel like my feed is behind. I just looked up and I saw
I'm watching Lance Archer right now.
I'm still behind. You know, it is what it is. It can't work and, you know.
Yes. I got you.
Yeah. But yeah, like I do wish that there were more meaningful storylines for people. And when the storylines do happen, they're not just dropped, you know? I think there's a way to do it. And I can tell you my ideas for a small fee, Mr. Anthony Khan. So, you know.
Small fee. But you know what? I'll bring back Stokely Hathaway. Now, the story with Chris Statlander. You know, I thought he was her manager. And now we're not doing that anymore. At least write him off. Like, give us a reason. Why are we just not doing it anymore? And now Chris Statlander is just by herself, and now she's on her own. Why?
Maybe I don't know.
Maybe I missed the plot.
I'm missing the plot, too. Maybe I don't understand wrestling. I've never seen this show a day in my life. It's just, you know, just a couple of girls. I'm literally just a girl.
I'm just a girl. Well, let's talk about this women's match, because
I got two notes. Damn, these elbows and these knees. Pile driver stat win. At the end, Chris calls out Camille Brick.
Stop it. That's my last bullet point, too. I said, Chris gets on the mic calling out Camille.
Somebody said this on the TNA show, and I've been living ever since. We call it the meaty man things meet, and this is going to be a skirt steak match.
I'm dead. Someone in the comments is like, why are they doing a review now instead of after Battle of the Belts? We're watching Battle of the Belts right now. I'm watching Jack Cartwheel get thrown out of that ring by Lance Archer.
Oh, no, girl. I'm going to be real with you. Every time that we have done a Battle of the Belts review for the Inquiring Mind, and watch it, by 30 minutes in, myself, Iridian, and Rick are like, Lord Jesus, no belts will change hands. And we've decided that it's better for our mental health for us to do it like this. Thank you so much for your understanding and your inquiry.
Thank you. And yes, it's the Collision Post Show. Right now it's Battle of the Belts. So if it was not called Battle of the Belts and it was on Collision, we would review it. Lance Archer and Brian Cage right now picked up the win. Lance Archer without the braids, it's not the same.
I gotta tell you, at first I hated the braids, and then he came out last week, but I was like, who is this man? I don't know him.
Put the braids back in, sir.
I lied. Put the braids back in. Put the braids back. Is it the braids? I lied. Oh. I thought I hated them. As a matter of fact, I love them. Put them back in right now.
Whoever made that creative decision, wrong. Okay? Undo it.
I got the hair grease. I'm coming right now. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Lance Archer, if you're watching this, please bring back the braids.
No, I'm watching him right now. He's wrestling. He's not watching this.
Drew is on the chat saying, I didn't even realize he didn't have the braids anymore. Sir!
Because you were probably like, who is this new young lad a part of this group? is it the braids, Lance Archer? Yes, it is.
Not the new young lad of Lance Archer.
This new strapping lad on the wrestling scene.
Okay, Beast Mortos is in the hall eating some meat off of a plate.
Just cannibalism.
Craziness.
Wrestling.
Yeah, Alan sent us a chat. And yeah, it is exactly to our point. It's Battle of the Belts where everyone retains. They even gave a stat one time backstage where they're like, Sammy Guevara, you are the only person who has ever won a championship off of this. And we're like, wait a minute. Out of all of the Battle of the Belts that they've had, Sammy Guevara is, I think maybe another championship title has also changed there. But they're like, you are the only one who has gotten a title from it. So why do we watch? Why, like, we know what the outcome is going to be. It's not surprising. It's not to say entertaining, because shout outs to Beast Mortos, who was entertaining us with meat in the hallway. But it is what it is. But let's talk about Chris Statlander and Harley Cameron getting back to Collision.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I said my two notes, unless you got more notes. Okay.
Okay. No, I have more. So I was very surprised because we were 20 minutes into the show and we were getting a women's match, which I'm like, all right, moving in the right direction. Usually we get a women's match the second hour into the show, 20 minutes in. So I was like, all right, we're changing up the schedule here. Love it. And then they said it was like the 17th match for Harley, while Chris Statlander had the second highest winning streak at over 90 matches. And I'm like, that's disrespectful commentary. First of all, why would you bring up a rude statistic like that? Like, poor Harley. But she did get better. Every time she's in the ring, I'm just like, wow, she's really improving. Shout outs to her. And it was an entertaining match. I was like, yes. I honestly, it was longer than I thought it was going to be. Because, you know, we're talking about squash matches. But I was like, okay, you know, Harley's really getting that offense, defense in, whatever. But yeah, it was like 4 minutes long. And I'm like, oh, man, could have been a little bit more. But Chris Statlander did call out Camille, which I was like, that is a match I'm ready for.
I'm excited for that. I will say this. There's nothing wrong. I'm sorry. There is nothing wrong with losing. You got 50-50 chance of winning or losing. Mm-hmm. I think that the AR Fox Ricochet match proved that. Mm-hmm. My complaint with this match, because the Harley Quinn match was the start of, I want to call it the clown fiesta, if you will. This was the start of it. And it was like, this match, it didn't matter if she lost. Give it some time. And if we're rolling that into the next match, which is Private Party versus the Premier Athletes, the brown nosing at the start for Smart Mark Sterling, I don't know what they're paying him, but it's not enough. It's not enough. He is the worst best. He's up there. So I will say also that Stokely Hathaway is the one of the four horsemen of the tag team breaking up Apocalypse. Because every time he comes around, he's like, oh, this person sucks. Or maybe you should break up with him. And how did that work out for Chris Statlander? How did that work out? Or how is that going to work out for Private Party? I can't remember what other team you were representing before Stokely Hathaway. And I feel like they didn't go anywhere. He can't be trusted. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. This match got quite a bit of time. My favorite part of this match, though, was Smart Mark Sterling say, I think you guys are smart enough to say premier athletes, let's go team or something like that. You guys are smart enough to do it. And they say the premier athletes and they say sucks. And then Nigel says, I guess they weren't that smart after all, Tony. I was like,
that's so crazy because that happens all of the time. And smart Mark Sterling knows what the crowd is going to say. And sir, if you haven't changed up your wording by now, you got to let it go because it's not going to go your way. I was honestly very confused because I thought this is the match that they were fighting BCC. So I had Private Party and Danny Garcia versus BCC. And then I was like, premier athletes? ?
So I was sports confused.
Yeah. My first bullet point is, and that's it.
I mean, the match was fine. Zay got worked over. And again, Stokely Hathaway literally is one of the horsemen of the tag team breaking up Apocalypse. Because no matter who you were with, you haven't managed anyone successfully. It's funny, but you haven't managed anyone successfully, Stokely Hathaway. I'm really trying to remember who he managed before Chris. I know it was another tag team.
Somebody write it in the comments if you
write it in the comments. How many teams has Stokely Hathaway broken up? Stokely Hathaway is a professional home wrecker. How many happy homes has Stokely Hathaway broken up? Leave a message.
Jade Cargill? No, that was Mark Sterling. Okay, I'm getting distracted because Anna J is on the screen. She looks phenomenal. Okay.
Shout out Anna J.
The gear is gearing, girl. Same thing with Mariah.
Okay, so I know Stokely did manage Jade, but I feel like who was after that? He was definitely with the team. And I mean, if we are keeping with the Crest of Star conspiracy theory, where's Jade at now?
Dang.
Big Stoke? More like Big Stroke? I'm kidding. That doesn't sound any better. Anyway, Private Party gets the gin and juice for the win, and Stokely is mad as hell at Quinn getting the win when he's trying to separate Isaiah Cassidy from Xavier. Oh, that's the main star. Go away. What did you think about this match, Iridian?
I thought it was fun. It was fun to watch. I think Mark Sterling really does add something to the premier athletes because, yes, they do all of the work, but Mark Sterling, the man that you are, like, I cannot. He makes me laugh. Like, he's so unserious. Like, if Nigel was a manager, this is the type of manager he would be.
Okay? Very that. Very that. Super unserious, but also the most serious of them all, because I'm a freaking lawyer.
You see this suit? Professional.
You see this? Don't look too much at the diploma, but you see it from over here? You see it in that back wall? Don't look too much, okay?
Yeah. Man. Good stuff.
Honestly, Stokely Hathaway is ready to be a jerk. After that, we do have the video package for Take It Away, Iridian.
I don't know what video package was up. Oh. I didn't have that in here. I said Orange
Cat.
Hold on. Los Ingobernables. Yeah, La Facción Ingobernable.
LFI. Duolingo Owl is looking at me like this right now.
It's like, you didn't practice today?
Oh, I'm going to try to go to sleep. My phone is going to call like, who is this? So no Spanish today? I'm going to ask you in Spanish, but I see you didn't practice.
Oh,
the scared. Okay, next match is Orange Cassidy versus, I thought it was Bear Bronson, but they just said Bronson. All right, not Bronson Reed, not Bronson Boulder, just Bronson. Not Action Bronson, just Bronson. They start off with this guy running down everybody. I didn't even catch his name. He said, we must have been forgotten because a conglomeration is on TV every week. Now, I knew you was about to get beat up, but you spat with that one. Conglomeration is on every show, every week. And if I'm someone in the back, I'm like, yo, how y'all got three shows and feature every conglomeration person, even Battle of the Belts, but you can't feature a bear or a boulder or a guy who's rude?
Yeah, no, speaking about Bronson, you just said his name is Bear Bronson. So
isn't there a Bronson Boulder too?
I mean, there could be.
Is it Bear Boulder and Bronson Bear?
Bronson, I don't know, guys. Somebody, I'm so sorry, Iron Savages, but the fact that they come out and say Titty City, that's like literally, it just, my mind goes out the window because I am like, you guys are so unserious. I genuinely cannot. And the fact that they were like, we must be the Serta Mattress Savages because we keep getting slept on. I said, man, that's a bar.
I mean, again, I knew what this was about to, I knew what was about to have happen. But when he said that, I was like, if I am other people in the back, you make a good point. You want me to help you fight John Moxley? I can't even get a shot on Rampage, bro. Rampage is an hour. That looks like, that's not my business. It looks like my business is in catering. Mm-hmm. Put my glasses on. I see no evil.
And you know what? That goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that sometimes people don't get the chance to be on TV. Meanwhile, you have the conglomeration on every single show.
No lies. Not a lie to them. Don't get me wrong. I like all the guys in the conglomeration.
Yeah.
But y'all could put them all together as a faction on one show and give that extra spot to somebody else instead of throwing together. I hate to quote Jay Lethal, whatever that was.
Well, you know what tonight was? We went to Titty City. And Nigel on commentary was an absolute menace because he goes to Tony and he's like, have you been to Titty City, Tony?
Nigel McGuinness is a natural, is a national treasure.
He is.
And honestly.
Is. And also, okay, I know we have a lot to say about this match, but guess how long this match was? If you had to guess, just throw something out there.
A minute and 10 seconds, if that. From, are we talking about from when people spoke or just when the bell rang?
Bell to bell.
45 seconds.
24.87 seconds.
I shouldn't have been generous.
24 seconds was this match. And I was like, did we need this? Did we really need this? Because Jamie Hayter got less than 2 minutes. Tony.
For two punches.
We will wait for your response, Tony Khan.
Tony Khan, you will pay for your crimes. Like Leon Ford said earlier, we are waiting for you outside. Leave your book bag. We're not going to jump. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke. For legal purposes, that is a joke. Okay? That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke. Unless you want to be headlocked now. Ooh, we have a super chat from Just Ricardo saying, I am at work, but I love you all. See you all afterwards. Love you too, Ricardo. Thank you so much for dropping in. And guys, don't forget to give us a listen. Give us a listen afterwards. Go to Fightful Selects. Best $5 in the business. They got so much stuff coming out. Contract updates. Sean Ross Sapp is your scoops guy. And if you want to get it straight from the sauce, not aggregated, go to Fightful Select. We got a $5 tier up to like $100 tier. So what are you waiting for? Come live in Sean Ross Sapp's basement with me. I'm kidding.
Also, if you love us here on Collision, let Sean know. Tell him in his Twitter comments. Like, let him know
that you love us.
He loves that, okay?
He loves that. Just say, at Sean. Did you know that Crescent and Iridian are fantastic? Sean. Just add him. He loves that. Yeah. Last show.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about this Jamie Hayter and Brooke Havoc match because I know I mentioned that it was less than 2 minutes, but it's Jamie's like fifth match back, I want to say. Mm-hmm. It's like fifth match that she's had since she's been injured. And I always go back to thinking when I think the BCC was asked a long time ago, like if they were to have a woman in the group, who would it be? And I know a lot of them said Jamie Hayter. And I'm like, oh, the things that could have been in the Blackpool Combat Club. But Jamie seems to be doing well. She's got a new look. And she's doing all right under 2 minutes in this match. I was just disappointed that it was that short. But what did you think about this match?
I don't think we said the ending of the last match. It was an armor punch, y'all. I'm sorry. We got sidetracked. This match, I don't have much notes either. I was able to get Brooke Havoc's name, and I literally wrote, this is a child. Child abuse. If I will talk about elder abuse, I'm like, girl, get your money, honey, because not everyone, I'm struggling to get booked, and you over here booked on AEW, but at what cost? Jamie Hayter's gear, her hair, phenomenal. But that pump kick, and then I don't know if that was a blue thunder bomb or whatever, but that girl landed on her fucking chrome dome and the hater raid. I was like, damn, that girl died. But that was a short match. And they said, this was one of two matches tonight. I was like, when was the first one? I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's a Harley Carver match.
You said, wait a minute. What's going on? What time is it?
I got another one. Did I miss something?
Dang. Craziness.
That's sad. If both of those matches were 2 minutes, which I can believe. Yeah. I mean, it's all about the post-match tonight, right? The post-match after this one was Penelope said, you ditched me, Jamie. You were my last tag team partner. And when you went away, I had to claw and crawl back to be anything. And you get the red carpet rolled out for you. I'm like, ooh, jealousy. I don't know what to tell you, girl. So Penelope Ford said, I'm going to take everything from you. You're not going to have a chance. You're not going to sleep. I'm going to be there. You're not going to breathe because I'm going to be there. So we've got a stalker on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. What did you think about this post-match, Iridian?
I am ready for Penelope Ford, okay? Because she is that girl. She was holding it down for AEW during the pandemic. True. And a lot of people, like, she's flown under the radar. But Penelope, like I said, is that girl. She can move. I love the split that she does when she gets in the ring. 10 out of 10 for Penelope. And I'm glad that Kip is also getting a little bit more involved into storylines. I think they're such a power couple and they're great wrestlers individually. So put them in the storylines. I think her and Jamie Hayter are going to be going back and forth for a while. So I'm excited about this.
I am too. It just sucks that poor Brooke Havoc had to pass away. After that, we do get Lexi Nair backstage with Daniel Garcia in Private Party. They were celebrating, commiserating, and Orange Cassidy walks by, and they're like, yo, you got to be a leader. You got to do something. You got to stand up, and we know that you beat the BCC Wolfpack before. And Orange Cassidy's like, yeah, but it changed who I was fundamentally, so, you know, I'm not a leader. Mm-hmm. I'm not that guy, pal. Good luck. I'm like, yikes, but you know what? Again, who wants to fight Claudio Castagnoli besides Eddie Kingston? And who wants to fight John Moxley? I quit. And even if you quit, he's still going to stab you.
You know what? Shout outs to Orange for being so self-aware. He's like, you know what? That's not me. That's not me. What I was kind of more offended by was the fact that Danny was like, it's time for you to step up. I was like, step up, sir. He was like,
go on vacation.
He needs to leave. He needs to rest, okay? He was the All-Atlantic champion or the Intercontinental champion for the International. I'm so sorry. There's so many title changes that have gone through. But literally, he was defending that every week. He was going out of his way. Orange Cassidy has put in the work so much like Darby Allin. I need both of them to go on vacation because they are someone that AEW has relied on extensively to continue storylines, to hold championships, to really just kind of hold it down. And the fact that Danny was like, all right, you got to step up again. No, he needs to go on vacation.
Danny, you step up. How about that?
You step up. You be a leader, Danny.
Ask Hologram. Go ask that. Like, I'm old. I just got here and I'm old. But no, that's a good way to put it. Like, no, nah. Look what they did to Daniel Sips. Fuck out of here. Go ask Eddie Kingston.
Go ask Eddie Kingston. I think he just posted a picture with, like, he's finally got a boot on his leg. He's out of the wheelchair, I believe. But Eddie, shout outs to you. Because you know what? Kingston. You really told us who Claudio was, and we didn't want to believe you. And here Eddie we are. Knew.
Honestly, I need Eddie Kingston to come back like an old abuela with a chancla and beat everyone. Like, what the hell is going on here? You pieces of crap. Like,
we need Eddie Kingston to come back. Like, we need those braids to return to land. The exact same.
You know what? And on that note, this is a word from our sponsors, Blue Chew.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps to give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top. You know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you, Blue Chew, for sponsoring this episode. And speaking of meat, we've got a super chat from Meat Norman saying, "Sup, Cresta and Iridium, I'm out handling meat business." Hey, you're not. Play. No pause. Play. "I'm out handling meat business, but wanted to show y'all some love. Meat forever and sometimes veggies. Eat your vegetables. Don't get gout."
Thank you. Thank you. I am in awe. During that Blue Chew ad, we got Anna J doing this incredible finish and to pin Mariah May. She got the win.
Isn't this a tag team eliminator? Oh, I'm watching it right now. Oh, she just tripped her and did like a crucifix.
Yup, right? She learns stuff. I love it.
I will say on a side note, I would love for Anna Jay to do something and get a push. However, I do feel like poor Mariah May, since winning the championship, it's kind of fizzled out. I don't feel like she's had much intrigue or much follow-up to the Timeless Tony. So I'm like, the turn, everything was fantastic. But once Tony left, I felt like, okay, Mariah, good luck. And it's like, no, she needs just as much care if she's going to be your new champion.
Yeah, and we kind of did get a little bit when she was kind of saying like, oh, I need Mina back. But then like, where did that go? Like, I don't know. And this is, again, this is the problem. We need women to have the storylines. We need something to happen. Because even with Mercedes Moné, you know, people keep talking about how she's getting paid all this money. But then what is she doing in AEW? Like, I've never understood the sports references when the guys get upset that the quarterback is getting paid so much money, but look at what they're doing out there. Like, I feel it now. I relate.
I will say this. Why are you pocket watching? Let her make money. I mean, honestly, that was the last match.
Yeah, okay. As it started going to something else, I was like, oh, okay.
You know what? I'm glad I didn't wait. Anywho, let Mercedes make her money. Stop pocket watching. Listen, if I got paid a lot of money to go out there and wear clothes.
No, absolutely. But put her in a story so we can see her out there being entertaining. Like, use her. There's so many women that are out there in the back and they're also not being used. Like, we have these stars on the roster. Give them to us.
Agreed. Maybe what if we hear me out? What if we book the show like the way you book the men, we book the women? So I have two men's matches.
Craziness.
I'm fine. Next, we got Atlantis Jr. versus Kyle Fletcher with the human hot dog, Don Callis, if you ask people on the internet. And I'm a fan of Don Callis. Don Callis, I'm making up my facts, and you're not going to question me. I'm going to make up some facts right now. Did you know that Iridian is the 47-time Intercontinental Championship? What are my sources? And your mother. Next question. Bet y'all didn't know that. She's the GCW Hardcore Champion.
Not the hardcore champion. You can't even give me a light one. I'm have to be the hardcore champion.
Nah, I seen it with my own eyes. You beat people up with a barbed wire bat. You are crazy, Iridian. I just be lying.
He is hilarious on commentary. I have really grown to love Don Callis on the mic. Like, he's hilarious.
If you don't take Don Callis seriously.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you can't take him seriously. Same thing with Nigel. You can't take him seriously on there.
If you let them get under your skin, that's your fault. So we had a really good match. After what I felt like were matches that, like, bro, I could have took it or leave it. We had Atlantis Jr. versus Kyle Fletcher. Kyle Fletcher is being an ass. There's no nice way to say that. at me. Mark Davis, come back and get your friend because he's doing a lot. Okay. First, he stabbed Will Ospreay with not a toothpick. Jesus Christ. With a screwdriver. Can you imagine stabbing Will Ospreay with a toothpick?
With the toothpicks.
And tonight he starts off the match by, before the bell even rings, he throws his jacket at Atlantis. He literally beats Atlantis up so bad that he rips Atlantis's mask. But this match was no slouch. Like, sorry. I'm trying to look for a good part where I feel like after Atlantis Jr. mask ripped, he started going into overdrive. There was a nasty spine buster onto the apron from Kyle into the ring, but it was only a two. There was that backbend spot where they were both trying to like hit each other for a pile driver or a German. This match had a lot going on, much like the Ricochet and turn the notes, girl. You got bad memory. It's okay to look. And the AR Fox notes, AR Fox match. These guys, this could have been on a pay-per-view. This more of this, please. What are your thoughts on this, Iridian?
Yeah, I absolutely love this match. You know, I think Kyle was very aggressive from the beginning. He threw his jacket to Atlantis right away as the bell rung. And he was very aggressive this whole time, which I think is great because he's really advancing in this Don Callis family. You know, we were wondering, like, with Takeshita, like, yeah, Takeshita was doing great, but he wasn't kind of really doing anything. And now Takeshita's getting a push. And now Kyle's kind of evolved into this other character. And, man, there was just one move where Atlantis – was like jumping from inside of the ring to the outside, but he grabbed onto the top ropes and he kind of flipped over, and I said, oh, like that just looked really, really cool. So, and his mask ripping in picture, that added a whole nother element because I'm sure that man was stressed. Like
when you're about the professionalism to finish with it just dangling, I'm like
you did that, sir. Yeah, man, it was just cool. And I know there was a brainbuster on the apron from Kyle to Atlantis, and that was followed up by like a chair drop brainbuster, and Atlantis had like a Canadian destroyer. So it was great. I thought it was great. Kyle picked up the win. And I honestly think that this match benefited Atlantis Jr. Like, he really made an impression on that crowd, and the crowd was very lively. I was kind of surprised because they were very, very into this match. So good for them. Good for both of them.
I mean, this was a really good match to be into. And I will say, to the benefit or to the detriment of having the other matches in between the AR Fox and the Ricochet match versus this match, there was a lot to be like, okay, I can get excited again. You know, unfortunately, there's nothing wrong with losing here, because I think Atlantis Jr. looked amazing in defeat. But when you give a match time and you let the people cook, there's a chance for them to do so. Afterwards, Kyle Fletcher says, I'll tell you guys this Wednesday, because they were booing this man. Again, now everything is rated to Dominic Key. Kyle Fletcher was getting booed like, shut up, Kyle.
Craziness.
You don't tell me I'm wrong?
Man, it was good. He comes out, and I mean, he was talking about, oh, I'm going after Ospreay. Will, this is for you. And I said, Kyle, please. Why are we all just going? Again, we've been talking about it this whole show. We're just all going after the big guns now. All thought is out the window. But okay, I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Speaking of big guns out the window, House of Black, Buddy Matthews, Malachi Black, Brody King versus Alpha Zoe, Alama Day, I hope I said your name right, and Chris Nasty. Like, bro, if you're arguing about who's gonna tag in first, you've already lost the mental game, and it's time to pack it up. Shout out to these guys selling like their life depended on it, because old boy in the yellow chunks, I think his name is Alameda, I hope that's all right. When they hit him and he was up on the top rope and he tried to get some offense in, the way he looked like they knocked him loopy, I'm like, you sell, boy. You get your audition tape in. But y'all got work. Y'all got work like a $2 hook on a Friday night.
Okay, but the yellow trunks, man, he was really kind of holding his own. He was tall. He was the same size as Brody. And
the crowd was into it. They started chanting meat. They were like, meat, meat, meat.
I was like, okay, now, sir, you look like you could do something, okay? And nothing happened, of course, but there was potential, okay? And that's what really mattered. There was potential.
I mean, yeah, the chops were chopping, And I couldn't even tell you how it ended because at some point they just started beating up these people. And I was like, okay, suplex into double stomp into oh, the bell ring. Oh, I was frantic. I was shook, panicking.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
House of Black wins. There is no post-match thing, which I was like, okay, we call not everyone, but not for House of Black.
Yeah.
What are we doing with House of Black?
That's a great question. Somebody asked Tony Khan for us. Not because we're not going to do it.
To quote or misquote the great Cher, how do they keep get booked in this chicken shit gigs? You know, like, I'm misquoting Cher, quoting a drag queen, misquoting Cher. Like, if I'm House of Black, I'm going backstage, I'm looking at Tony like,
what's next? What you got?
Like, come on. Give me some AR Foxes. I'll even go ahead and say, next segment is Thunder Rosa. She's in the middle of her spiel. We kind of covered this briefly. Yeah. Harley gets punched. That's the only note I have.
That's it. Yeah.
I will go ahead and say that even with there was something else that happened tonight that was like, bro, you could have put the House of Black versus these guys. If I'm House of Black, I'm having a stern talking to, or I'm signing with the Bucks. I've had it.
You better figure it out before we start joining the BCC.
Bro! Yo, if House of Black and BCC get together, I quit. The fuck is this, GCW? I'm out of here.
Honestly, if they join forces, it's over. Okay? It's a done deal.
If I see them coming down the hallway, I'm turning the other way. I don't care. I'm going to walk around this arena. Fuck out of here, bro. The more I think about that, I'm like, yo, no.
That's crazy.
Nobody would be safe. No. Not a singular. And when Julia Hart comes back, Marina Andrew.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. No.
Not Tony watching this like.
Let me write that down. Tony's like, where's my notebook?
I see you. We do get a highlight for me of the night, which is the Outrunners. And honestly, I hate that these guys are so... This is sports entertainment, baby. This is what I turned on wrestling for. It was the Outrunners versus Los and Nova Lab. I feel like Nigel trying to say Andrade's name. I'll never cook you again, Nigel, ever again in life. Los Innombrables.
Los Ingobernables.
What Iridian said.
Yeah, I want it. Well, what are they? They're called La Facción Ingobernable, right?
I always write L.I.J., but that's the Japanese version. You can't put L.I.J. You can't cut quarters, yeah. Cresta.
I want to say it's, yeah, La Facción Ingobernable.
LFI. Hell yeah, brother. That's what I'm going to use. But yeah, this was a really competitive match. Now, let me tell you something. Roosh, much like Eddie Kingston, but for different reasons, does not know wrestling is a work. And I'm not going to tell him. And he works stiff. And the Outrunners were like, hell yeah, brother, we're from the 80s. I'm working stiff right along with you. Wrestling is real. And that's exactly what this match was. I lived. I died. I did not like that the Outrunners lost. But they didn't look bad in defeat.
No, they didn't. And you know what's crazy? When the Outrunners come out, I cheer. No matter where, yes. I'm at. I'm like, hey, here we go.
These guys. Like, it's so 80s that it hurts. And I think that them and Bear Bold, the Boulder Brothers, they could have that same charm. But also, oh my God, I feel like they did have that charm back. The Workhorsemen have that charm too. Oh, yeah. Where like when you're in a certain period or you're like a wrestler of a certain time, it makes a lot of sense. So I love these guys. It's kind of like all the things you like about Hulk Hogan without any of the, I just don't like it when you date him, brother.
Craziness. I can't believe you said that.
I'm just saying what he said, brother. It's my trauma and I'm allowed.
Man, this was just so exciting to see. And I wrote down my first note is, this is going to slap, okay? This has the match of the night potential. And slap it did, okay? Because Turbo and Rush were in there going chop for chop. serious business. Honestly, it sounded so loud. I know their chest is going to hurt tomorrow.
Hamburger meat.
Yes. And Jalisco did play a factor into this match, which are we surprised? Like, cheater's going to cheat. And yeah, La Facción Ingobernable was just crazy tonight, but I'm a fan. And I am more of a fan of the Outrunners. It's just like equal love. I'm here for it. And it's funny because I haven't been, I think I haven't watched like the past 2 weeks Collision because I've been out, but they mentioned that the Outrunners are now with like FTR and they're the FTR runners. And I'm like, why does every tag team that teams up with FTR or whoever teams up with FTR, why does it click? It just works. Like FTR goes with everything.
Wrestling, it just works. I will say, of all the teams that FTR has tagged with, the Outrunners are definitely the yin to their yang. Because FTR is an old school, we don't do no fish. And the FTR is just like, yeah, brother. It's like, not like that.
If you described FTR to somebody, you would think they look like the Outrunners.
Yes! Yes! You're already, and you spit. You spit. If you describe, even with the music, like, okay, so look at the Outrunners. Like, yep. So no, actually.
So, wrong. They actually look like this, which you're going to be like, huh, interesting. Wouldn't picture that. But literally, that's what it is.
And you would like, then who do the Outrunners look like? The Young Bucks. If you describe the Young Bucks, you would think they were the Outrunners. Yeah. So then who are the Young Bucks? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's anybody. Nobody's anybody. We do have a super chat from Alan Jeanette. I hope I said your name right. Please correct me phonetically in the comments. I want Jake the Snake to come out in a promo and the Outrunners interrupt and say, that doesn't work for us, brother. Honestly, I love a good 80s promo, but we did just get the Young Bucks telling that to Private Party that they don't want a rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, I can use it again. Why gimmick not? Infringement, brother.
Nothing.
This match was good. LFI get the win because, of course, they did. Like everybody said, Jalisco cheated. And they held down Rush's leg so old boy couldn't kick out Mr. Turbo Floyd. Post-match, LFI jumped the Outrunners. FTR makes a save. And then there's a flex off with the camera doing a...
That's so much fun.
Also, want to give a shout out to Aubrey Edwards because in the very beginning of the match when the Outrunners were doing their intro, one of their glasses fell off, so they put it on Aubrey. Aubrey turns to them and goes, make that a gift. Somebody go back and just look. She turns and she just says this. It's fantastic. I love Aubrey.
Yeah, she knows. I love how in tune she is with everything that's going on at the ring, even if it's because the match hasn't started yet. So it's great.
You can tell when someone loves wrestling and they're in on the joke too. And Aubrey is someone who's definitely in on the joke. She loves it. She loves that. That's her shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting into the home stretch. We are at the last match. We've been yakking for 1 hour and 7 minutes. So we are coming up to the final match. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in for myself and Iridian. And let's talk about the Trios Championship match that rounds out Collision this evening with Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta, new BCC, I guess, champs versus Top Flight, Darius Martin, Dante Martin, and Action Andretti. We're going to let Iridian start off with this. Iridian, tell me what you thought about this match. What were your favorite parts? And why are you upset with Wheeler Yuta?
I don't know what is going on in the world right now. Okay, people were out there booing Wheeler Yuta. Like I said earlier, the loudest boos of the night were for Wheeler Yuta. And I said in my head, I'm like, this could have gone so different. People could have loved him. He could have come out there and been a baby face. We could have started building him up again, like Danny Garcia. You know, he was having matches with Danny Garcia, with Lee Moriarty, with MJF. Like, what were we doing? And now he's back in the Blackpool Combat Club and is like, I guess, bottom of the totem pole. Because like I said, Marina Shafir is one level above Yuta. And I was just not for it. I was not for it. I'm like, sir, I can't wait for you to be a face again. But BCC was so violent during this match. And you know what? Honestly, that was on me because I don't know why I expected something different. But it was the same. And Marina Shafir absolutely was devastating people outside of that ring. Can't take
honestly, it. I think it's about time for Marina Shafir to get beat up. I said this before with Rhea Ripley in the beginning. Like, there's one of her. Because if we're going to skip ahead to the end of this match, because respectfully, this match was fine. But it was really about the post-match. Top Flight obviously loses. No shade. New BCC are psychopaths, and I would turn the other way and not even look in their direction. And even then, I think it's too late. BCC beats up Top Flight. Moxie and Marina Shafir come out. Top Flight still got beat up. Layla Gray comes out and says, stop the madness. And Marina Shafir says, get that shit out of here. Now, when I said a girl should come out, I didn't mean you, Layla Gray. I didn't mean you. Respectfully, sweetie. Marina Shafir needs a girl that knows no fear. Layla Gray, you have some fear. I can look at your eyes. You have more than one fear. Okay, you have some fear. It's fine. I have fear, too. If Marina Shafir was running at me and tossed me with no shoes on, I have a lot of fear. I got fear. So I don't know what we're going to do about the BCC. I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be tough because if I was walking down a hallway and I saw Roderick Strong and the other choice was walking down the hallway and it was Marina Shafir, I'm not getting close to the hallway with Marina Shafir. Roddy, sir.
Yell at me. Break my back.
Like, I know Marina can fight. Like, I've seen it. Like we said, she doesn't wear shoes in the ring. You said she doesn't have anything to lose. Makes sense to me. That adds up.
You wrestle with no shoes on, you have plus 10 to intimidation. Because anything can happen to your toes, and if you don't care about that, you definitely don't care about me. Somebody says Stokely also represented the firm. And what happened to the firm?
Who was in the firm? I don't remember that.
Wasn't that like MJF, FTR?
Oh. That was a long time ago. Dang. Honestly, Stokely need a better resume, sir.
He's got a great resume. We just have to find someone who can.
I guess not resume. You need a better track record of success.
He is the apocalypse of tag teams. This man. And before that, he was in WWE managing. What's the name? I say that to say that if somebody who gets with Stokely Hathaway has to be like either an R-Truth who's going to out-goofy his goofy, or has to be so serious like a Lance Storm where it's like Stokely's going to be like, you want to hear a joke? This better be funny, Stokely. Never mind. Never mind.
You're right.
You're right. Nothing's funny. Nothing's funny. Nothing's funny. Broke people should never laugh. I'm never saying anything again. And that's our show. I'll never speak again. Iridian, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can head over to Rest Friends on YouTube. That's WREST Friends. I actually have an interview from a while ago with Atlantis Jr. And he was talking to me about his match that he had with Chris Jericho a while ago. But he was great. Fantastic. Really, really fun guy. And yeah, just add me on social media at Instagram, Twitter. What else? There's so many other, like everything I have. Okay. Iridian_Fiero. That's where you will find me. And every Saturday when we have a show, I will try to be here with the beautiful, the lovely, the wonderful, the star, my sister, love her, Cresta the Star. Shout outs to you, girl. Where can our fans and our audience and our listeners find you?
Guys, I've missed you all so much. I'm be a little sad here. I had to put my cat down last month. That's why I took time away. And I say that to say life is short. Love your friends, love your family, love your fur babies. And I think that it's a lot of fun being here with Iridian every Saturday. And I'm here every Saturday with her and Rick covering Collision when we do have a show, because Collision be clowning sometimes. Sometimes they have pay-per-views on Saturday. But you know what isn't clownery? Every Thursday you can find me and Joel Pearl going over TNA. This Saturday, not this Saturday, but I think next Saturday, I won't be here. I will be over with Joel Pearl doing Bound for Glory. Sorry, Colliders. That's just what it is. You know what? No Collision. We're going to make Iridian watch Bound for Glory. We're going to drag her over so you can watch TNA with us.
We'll do that. Let's do that.
We'll do that. Besides that, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Cresta Star, besides Twitter where it's Cresta the Star. But please get into my blue sky, because Twitter's doing a whole lot where people can follow you if you're blind. I don't care. I'll shut it down first. And don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select.
Yeah.
I think we said all the things.
I think so.
ladies and gentlemen, I adore you. You are fantastic. Spay and neuter your pets and spay and neuter your step parents. Have a good one. Bye bye, y'all. End stream. Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.